I would like to bring you greetings from Malaysia Baptist Theological Seminary. Yeah, our teams, today we are ministering at your church, KLBC, both Bukit Bintang and also the Sapat City. So we cover all four services in three different languages. We are so glad that we can be with you and to appreciate you for supporting us. This year, we are celebrating our 70th anniversary. In fact, November 8th, yeah, we are going to have 70th anniversary banquet. More than 1,000 people will be eating and celebrating together. And on November 9th will be our graduation service. And this year, we are going to have more than 400 graduates, yeah, to bring glory to God because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So we have branches, in fact, seminary branches in 10 different countries, including Italy, France, Romania, and Greece, India, China, Cambodia, Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, etc. We do have a branch in Petaling Jaya for the KV, yeah, churches. Yeah, you are welcome to visit us at Jalan Pantai. And we have bought a bungalow, completed the renovation, and our staff are working hard there. And for this English service, we have few, yeah, from our team in KV, yeah, to send your greetings and also to express our appreciation. Hi, I'm Dr. John Ong, the president of MBTS. I would like to thank KLBC for your support in finance, in prayer, and in sending your members to study with us. Without your support, we will not be able to carry out the theological education. Thank you, because your giving has encouraged us to be faithful in carrying out the Great Commission. We appreciate your partnership. Thank you. Some brochures, bulletins, and even some MBTS t-shirts. Yeah, later you can check it out. And you are welcome to register, yeah, to study with us. We have all kinds of programs, different kinds of majors, yeah, and from certificate to degree and to postgraduate study. Yeah, our doctoral program, in fact, a doctor in ministry program has been accredited for more than 20 years. And we have doctor in missiology program also in three languages, in four languages, English, Chinese, BM, and in Korean. And so this year, yeah, the ATA Association give us the highest accreditation, and that is for our PhD program. You are welcome to study with us, to learn together with us, and also to serve together. And thank you for your prayer and also your financial giving. Without this, we will not be able to do the work. Thank you so much. And hi, I'm Dr. John Ong. I think it's enough. God has been so good, so faithful to MBTS for the last 70 years. And we have seen the growth in our ministry, more students, and our ministry also has been able to influence many places, many people groups in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, in USA as well, and in other places, more than 50 countries, and God is so good. But I think the most important thing for us and also for you, is whether we are doing gospel. That is most important thing in our life. The scripture, the passage that I'm going to share this morning is talking about food, in fact, because the disciples went into the town to look for food while Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. And I would like to ask you, what kind of food are you looking for? There are many people come to Malaysia now. Some come for culture. Some come for education. Many come for medication. But some come for food and some come for durian, Musang King. You know that I travel a lot. Almost every month I go overseas. But if I spend more than a week overseas, I feel something wrong in my stomach, or maybe in my heart, or maybe in my mind. And because I have a very strong desire, I want the food in Malaysia, in Penang. Okay. So very often that there is a cry from my stomach, through my heart, through my throat, is something like from inside out. I want HCCL. And do you know what is HCCL? Hokkien mee, curry mee, chai kway teow, laksa. And what kind of food are you looking for? In fact, what I want to ask you is, what is the main thing in your life? What is the main thing in your life? Once, while my son was young, I asked him, what is the main thing in your life? And he answered me. I think he heard it from somewhere else. He said that the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. Because he often forgot what I told him. And it may be the same to you as Christians, as leaders, and maybe also for us ministers, that we didn't make the main thing as the main thing in our life. To love God wholeheartedly, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbors. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Because the disciples went into the town. When they came back, they saw Jesus was talking to the Samaritan lady, which they think that was not appropriate at all, because Jewish people with Samaritan people, they have problem. Okay, but they didn't confront Jesus. Maybe Jesus is their teacher, and they thought that maybe, Jesus is hungry. And we know that if we are too hungry, we will do something crazy, am I right? Even for men, hungry man is an angry man. And I know that if you are hungry, you have no ears to hear. So the disciples came to approach Jesus and offer him the food that they found. And they say, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus say, and what he say surprised them, because he said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Wow. His disciples say to each other, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus explained and told them that the food that I am having is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You can see the desire of the disciples and the desires of Jesus and even the desires of the Samaritan woman are different. And Jesus desires more about doing God's will. He desired to do God's will as hungry men desire for food. He desired to do God's work as a thirsty man desire for water. And in fact, the satisfaction came not from food, came not from the world. It's from Him. Jesus experienced the most satisfactory when He doing His will, God's will, and doing God's work. He feels so satisfied, just as the hungry man have his HCL, almost unking, or the food that they wanted for, they longed for. As a thirsty man found the water, the fountain, and this satisfies his life. He wanted to do God's will and wanted to do His work. And that is the desire. And that is the main thing in Jesus' life. I want to ask you, what is the main thing in your life? You may say, looking for gold, money, looking for girls, men, looking for glory, might. Some look for property, passion, and power, finance, female, and fame. But here, Jesus said, do His will and do His work. And then, when is the right time? When is the right time? In fact, the following passage, Jesus pointed out that His will and His work, the most important thing one and the most urgent one is to do His mission. And He said, don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So doing His will and doing His work is to do the mission, is to reap the harvest. And open your eyes. Of course, in agriculture, when we planted the seed, it will take some time. And after a lot of hard work, including watering and all this, for it grows to become a plant that will yield fruits. But in spiritual realm, that is different. Because someone sowed the seed, another one may reap the fruit. And it may not take that long. And in fact, I experienced this in many, many places. In certain places, I thought that I just go there to pray for them. I just go there, maybe I will sow the seed. But God surprised me many times that I can reap the harvest, even in Middle East, even in the toughest place. Because when God's Spirit working, then no one can stop. Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I think many of you would like to do something for God. Many of you, even you had to make the decision to offer your life, to dedicate yourself, to serve God, even full time. But you waited. Not only 4 months, maybe 4 years already. Some maybe already 40 years. In fact, how much time you have, do you know? Do you think we can control our life and our time? Even if today, when we go to bed, we also don't have the 100% confidence or guarantee that we'll be able to wake up again. During the pandemic, there are so many people, including your friends and relatives. They are healthy, they are rich, they are smart. They make investment, a lot of investment in 2019. And they hope for the harvesting in 2020. But when the COVID-19 came, so many people, they lost their wealth, their health, and even their life. We thank God that He keeps us. We thank God that He protected us. We thank God that today we still can breathe normally. Can you? We thank God that today we still can worship Him and to serve Him. And that is not without a purpose. How are you going to use your life, the remaining of your time, to honor Him? And that is the main thing in your life. Behold, they are ripe. The harvest, the field, are ripe for harvest. In the original language, the ripe, in fact, the word, the meaning was white. The harvest is white. But we all know that if the paddy field or the wheat, if they are ripe, it will be in golden color, yellowish. So let me tell you that Jesus, when He said the harvest is white, He was not referring to the earthly harvest. Because during that time, Jesus was talking to the disciples, the Samaritan woman had made wonderful testimony in the town. And many people would like to know Jesus, would want to come to see Jesus. So a group of them, they came out from the town, they are walking, or even I can imagine that they are running towards Jesus and the disciples. 2,000 years ago, the Samaritan people, they wear white. They put on white cloth. Ladies with white scarf. So when Jesus said, look, the harvest is white, He wanted the disciple to see the people, to see their soul, to see their lost souls. And today, look, the harvest is white. The harvest is black. I went to Red Indian Reservation in the state. I sent in even my students, stay there for 1 year to do mission work. And the harvest is red. Okay. There are so many people coming to Kuala Lumpur, different colors. Your team went to Sabah. I also went to Sabah 2 weeks ago. My heart almost break when I see so many people, so many stateless children. And also, once Christianity was the majority, the state, but now it isn't anymore. Open your eyes and see what is happening. Behold and see the harvest is ripe. And what are you going to do? You cannot just hold on or sitting here. You have to pray for them. You have to give your financial support to the missionary who are doing the work. And you may have to go, if not long term, maybe short term, because they need you. When you see the harvest is plentiful and workers are few, what are you doing? When you see the harvest is ripe, do you have any actions? Good. It cannot be good if you are not going to go and do. And this is harvest time. Harvest time means that it's time that makes more workers. More and more and more workers. We train more and more and more seminary students. We graduate more and more pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and also all those who are working in the community. Because harvest time, we need workers. After the harvest time, you have more workers, but they have no job. Okay? Harvest time means busy time. Harvest time means short time. Later, if you have time, but you have missed the time, you have missed the opportunity. Behold, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are now ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draw a wage and harvest a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Why? Jesus said that because what you are going to reap is not worldly, is not temporary, is for eternal. And you are going to reap for eternal life. You invest in something earthly, in property, in other things in this world, you will not be able to bring the result back to eternity. But what you are doing for mission, what you are doing to men's souls, and that can be eternal. And that is so important. You know that during pandemic, especially in the year 2020, 2021, when the COVID, the virus was most fearful, the strongest, there are so many people, they lost their lives. But I have peace, and I think you have peace. Many of us, we have peace because we have the assurance of eternal life. Am I right? Although the world is on fire, although there are so many sufferings and disasters, and there are so many accidents, but we still have peace inside our heart because we know that in Jesus, we have eternal life. And this is not only for you and for me, because John 3:16, you know that Pastor John Kok and myself, we are same age. And because I'm a few months older than him, he always say I'm First John, he's Second John. And I say, no, I'm John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we can have eternal life. Not only for us, but for the world as well. And that is most important. I recall one testimony that I heard, and that is from my friend who served in the state. He told me that the church, we were young pastors, and that Sunday, after the singing, the praise and worship time, the young pastor came up to the pulpit. And then he said that today is a very special day that our brother, the senior brother, he has something to share. Because today is a very special day. And then the senior brother came up to the stage and he said that, yes, because 20 years ago, my son went to be with the Lord. And I promised him that I'm going to meet him in heaven. When he shared this, in fact, his face reflected the glory of God and his eyes also reflecting the hope and the desire to meet his son. He said that the day has come closer and closer. I am so excited Because I'm going to meet my son again and for eternal. And he told the congregation that 20 years ago, he said, this day, my son invited his friend, went for the boating, and I went together with them. Both of them were at the boat, and I'm at another boat. We were so happy. But suddenly, the current came, the wave, turned their boat upside down. And the wave pushed my son to this direction and pushed his friend to another direction. Both of them, they did not know how to swim. So for that few seconds, I have to make a decision to save my son or to save his friend. I turned to my son and I shouted, "Son, you have Jesus and you have eternal life. But your friends, he did not know Jesus. If he died today, we'll be forever in the hell. Son, I want to make an appointment with you that we are going to meet up in the heaven. Son, bye-bye." After that, he jumped into the sea. He swam towards the son's friend. After seeing this brother, he had some tears coming out from his eyes. But the face, even more glory, and the eyes full of hope. And he said, "Yes, the day has come closer, and I'm going to meet my son very soon." After saying this, he went down and he sat down. There are a few young people came forward, surrounded him, and rebuked him. They say that, "Do you know that a father chose not to save his only son? This is totally unacceptable. It is not ethical." They rebuked him. He didn't say anything. He just turned his face and his eyes full of mercies and compassions. "Look at these young people, the lovely young people." He smiled. He didn't say anything. And he closed his eyes. He prayed for them, asked God to bless these young people. And after that, this young pastor came up to the stage again. And then this is what he said. He said, "Brothers and sisters, we cannot understand why our brother, senior brother, decided not to save his own son, but to save the son's friend. Just like us, that we cannot comprehend why our Father in heaven decided not to save his only son, Jesus Christ, but to save us sinners." He said that, "I also cannot understand. But this love is beyond my comprehension. But I am more grateful even. I am more grateful even. I know that I am not deserved. Because today is not only the 20th anniversary day for our brother's sons who went to be with the Lord. It is also my 20th ever anniversary of salvation, of new life. And I was his son's friend. They've been saved. You know myself and maybe you too, that we become more grateful Because we know that we are not deserved. But God loved us. Decided not to save His own Son, but to save us, sinners. But what He gave is not to you and me only. He gave His life to the whole world. And He sent us to do. To save life, to share the gospel. And for more people to have the eternal life. And you are sent to reap for the eternity. So today I would like for you to review the purpose of your life. What is the main thing in your life? And what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And what are you going to do in honoring His salvation that has been given to you? He sent us to this world. He keeps us even during the pandemic. He blessed us even in this secular world. He has a purpose for you and for me to glorify Him and to make disciples of all nations. You may not be able to do much. I may not be able to do much. But when we join our hands and join our hearts together in partnership, we can win the world and win more souls for Him. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefit of their labors. The missionaries, they are sacrificing their family, their time, even their lives. We are working very hard as seminarians. Study and study and study, write and write and write. It's not easier. You try to write one paper and see. We are working day and night, especially during pandemic and after pandemic, because we have courses not only on-site, but online. We have courses only for the Asian, but also for the European. And now, the jackline and all this, we have to work. You really. Thank you for your support. Okay? You reap the benefit of our labors. Because all the result, we bring glory to you. And you partner with us. We thank you for your partnership. We appreciate that. Without that, we will not be able to do much. What is the main thing in your life? How are you going to use the life that God has spared for you? One day, you and me will face the Lord. And all people have to answer two questions. The first question is, how you treat my son? Every ethnic group, all people in this world have to answer this question. How they treat Jesus Christ. And this will determine their eternity. And then I think second question will ask you and me, all Christian, how did you spend your life to glorify me, to glorify my name? And this is the question that I want to throw to you. You have done a lot of work. You spend a lot of things in many, 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 many activities. But how much have you invested and how much have you contributed in order to glorify His name? That will bear eternal fruits that we can offer to Him while we meet Him. And that day may not be too far. Are you willing to respond to this invitation? Let's pray together. What is the main thing in your life? Are you willing to say, God, help me to know your will for my life and help me to do your work. Are you willing? Are you willing to tell God that, God, if you send me, I'm willing to go to sow or to reap. I want to be a good partner in your kingdom. Are you willing to say this to God that, God, if you want me, I am here. I'm willing to dedicate my life to serve you, to invest in eternity. Are you willing? If you're willing, would like for you to just raise your hand up. Tell God that I'm willing. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. One more. Amen. Oh God, we thank you. We are not deserved, but you love us. You save us and you commission us so that we can be your witness to the lost world, to the people who are suffering. We thank you and we want to make this as the main thing in our life for the rest of our life, that we want to bear eternal fruits to present to you, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.